Good evening. Welcome to worship on this eve of Easter 4. Each year on Easter 4, we celebrate Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He is the Good Shepherd, and we are, by his grace and mercy, his beloved sheep. So blessed Good Shepherd Sunday weekend to you and to yours. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. I remind you that you can see in the bulletin, but also that there is video season one of The Chosen, The Life of Jesus, and that Dan and Mary Jo Grimsrud have ordered the DV series for season one, and they would love to share it with their church family members. So you can always talk to Dan and to Mary Jo, email them, call them, whatever, and they will share that with you. I've seen a few of those episodes, and it's priceless. And people feel that it's a very good portrayal historically as well. So take note of that. Also, you'll see in here about May Emmanuel prayer candle calendar and epistle newsletter. That'll actually be coming out this coming week. Decided to wait until after we have our congregational meeting tonight so that I can include some kind of a blurb about it in there as well. So be watching for that. It'll come out early part of next week. And then remember also next Saturday, when I'm gone, that the pulpit supply will be Pastor Valdemar Gies, and he'll be sharing God's word from St. John with you, the epistle that we've been looking at throughout the 50 days of Easter. Tomorrow, NALC Disaster Response with Mary Bates, and that's at Holy Cross Lutheran Church here in town from 1 until 3. A chance for us to talk about how is it that communities and congregations and God's people are prepared in advance before disasters or crises come, and how we can respond with the love of Jesus. I think those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. Remember, when we're done with worship tonight, that we'll have a few minutes of transition, but then we'll call the meeting to order, and we'll get going with our business at hand for tonight's congregational meeting. Our first word for tonight, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We rise for our confession and forgiveness. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
Blessed are those who call on the strong name of the risen Lord. As we gather in the victorious name of Christ, let us open our hearts to him and confess the ways in which we have failed to follow his will, and the ways in which we simply neglected our calling as his disciples. In silence, let us confess our sins to our merciful Lord. Lord of heaven and earth, of the living and of the dead,
we come before you confessing our sins, asking for your gracious mercy. By our human nature, we are sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By your loving kindness, we implore you to grant us forgiveness and restore us to your salvation, that we might live holy lives here and now, and be with you in the final resurrection. Amen. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, God declares to all who believe and confess their sins that we are forgiven and restored to a right relationship through Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed and renewed by Christ, our Passover Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us walk in newness of life, following our Lord Jesus in holy obedience. Amen.
Our gathering hymn, Alleluia, Jesus is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who went to the cross for our sake, the love of the Father who put an end to the power of death through the resurrection of Christ, and the promised Holy Spirit who gathers us together, be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Shepherding God, you have brought us into your holy flock out of great love and mercy. Grant that we, having been so richly and undeservedly forgiven and accepted, might likewise show forth your love in truthful words and through our compassionate acts of love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
Our first reading is from 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is from John chapter 10. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them.
He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father, the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. We sing together two verses of our hymn of the day, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Darkness fell, his friends scattered. Hope seemed gone. But heaven just started counting to three. Beloved, indeed, for sure, you can bank on it. It's guaranteed by Christ alone. Beloved, the Father has lavished upon his children. See what love? Taste it, know it, touch it. Multi-sensory evidence. Beloved indeed. And indeed and in truth. You see, if we have the world's goods, St. John says, and we see that someone, a brother, a sister in Christ, is in need, and we close our hearts, how does God's love abide in us? We are called in Christ to put into practice the love of Jesus, to put into practice the resurrection and the real presence of our Lord and Savior Christ. You see, talk is cheap. I mean, we can spill out words and words and words. We could even quote Bible verses. But actions often speak louder, as you know, than words. Or as some would say, the proof is in the pudding. In other words, it needs to be put to the test. So this is God's commandment, St. John says. What? What's his commandment for us? That you believe in the name of Jesus. Think about that. That's God's command. His commandment that we believe in the name of his son Jesus, and that we love one another. Faith and good works. Believing and indeed and in truth, the public illustration, the demonstration, when the words become actions. See? Touch, taste, hear. Multi-sensory evidence for you, and then by the grace of God in you, through you, in the name of Jesus, the believing, confessing faith is not just a fellowship of phonies. you know, thanks, but a koinonia in Christ, a fellowship of believers who individually and corporately confess, the Lord is my shepherd, and I want for nothing. I will dwell in his house because he prepares a place for me and for you forever. God has good words for us, and it's all rooted in the word of Jesus, the word that becomes flesh. Jesus speaks, and then he acts. My life is a Bible for some folks to read. I wonder just what they are reading in me. Are they reading God's mercy and love in my life? Are they reading pain, jealousy, envy, and strife? I wonder just what they are reading in me. Well, truth be told, and it must. Must be told and shown. Truth, Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. You see, your life, my life, is a Bible. And maybe for some people, the only Bible that they'll actually be open to seeing or reading is your life, my life. So that in and through them seeing Jesus in you and me, they're able to know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. That their hearts are open so that the commandment of God, the Father, can be fulfilled through the working of the Holy Spirit in the name of his Son, Jesus, that we believe. And that by believing, we may have life, zoe, eternal life, not just biology, not just a date, but eternal, divine, holy, everlasting life in that precious name, which is above all names, the name of Jesus. Some of you get my 431. Some of you read that. Maybe not every day. Different people throughout our country read it at different times and pray at different times, but collectively, individually, we are in fact a koinonia in Christ. We are individuals that are believers corporately together who share a common confession that Jesus is Lord, that he's the good shepherd. He's not a hireling. Nor are we called to be hirelings who just simply collect a paycheck. And then when the wolf comes, we scatter because we're not deeply immersed as the good shepherd is in his sacrificing love for his sheep. Well, in my 431, I shared a story about how we're going to be doing pre-filled communion cups in worship rather than at the close of worship starting on May 8th. And I shared with you what the Lord revealed to me, which I think is timely in light of what God is sharing with us through his word, through St. John, the apostle. Remember, he was one of the two brothers, the sons of thunder, kind of impulsive, said things like, do you want us to rain down fire upon them? I mean, they rejected you, Jesus. They're gonna get what's coming to them. And Jesus says, say what? Slow down. And John became that apostle of love. How is it that we indeed, truly, for sure, put into practice the love of Jesus? Well, 1983, I was ordained and serving in my first parish in Lake Lillian. In the fall of 1983, you may recall, some of you, that Kenneth Hagin came up with an invention. He was an inventor in Indiana, and there was going to be for the first time in 1983, October 2nd, World Communion Sunday. Some of you remember that? I remember that. Every year, first Sunday of October, Worldwide Communion Sunday, right? But how are we gonna do this? And he came up with disposable cups, you know, the little plastic ones and stuff. And now how they have the wafers of the bread with the wine or the grape juice and the gluten-free? Pretty amazing stuff, right? Well, it was so well accepted, they said, can we continue this now? And so a company started. World Communion Cups. And when he passed away, the company went to Kenneth's children, his daughter's son-in-law, and then in 2011, they retired and they sold it, and Stephen Covey and his wife, Paula, I think it is, they bought it. Now, you know why? I know what you're thinking, because we're thinking, well, my billfold, it must have been a revenue decision. It wasn't. It was a believing decision. It was a faith decision. I kid you not. You see, they bought the company so that they could employ people who had been previously incarcerated. Because if you serve time like in jail or in prison, you come out maybe with a few dollars in your hand, no job, no place to live, no circle of friends that can, in fact, surround you with the faith and love of Jesus and help you. That's why they started this. Amazing company, Christ-centered, only purpose is to glorify God and to employ people that might otherwise fall between the cracks. And so God blessed the work of their hands. And Stephen said, in 2018 and 2019, it was just growing by leaps and bounds. We thought, you know what? We're going to be able to double the size of this company, and we're going to be able to employ more people that are in need of livable wages and jobs. And then what happened? COVID-19. Well, I probably don't need to tell you what happened, right? The company did not double in size. It multiplied tenfold. Those kinds of things happen, my friends, when one who believes in the name of Jesus also remembers that the commandment is to love one another, to live out the faith, to put it into practice. Because actions sometimes, maybe most of the time, speak louder than words. I can't hear what you're saying. Your actions are speaking too loudly. You've maybe heard that phrase, huh? I mean, it's true for all of us, isn't it? St. John says that what ends up happening is that we are either practicing the love of Jesus or the lawlessness of sin. We're either children of the Heavenly Father safely in his bosom gathered, or we are children of the devil who willfully, wantonly say, I'm not a sinner, I'm a good person, and whatever I'm doing is going to get me wherever I plan on going. We make God a liar. And St. John says, people are watching. Actually, people are reading you. People are reading me. And when they're reading us, what are they seeing? Is it the love of Jesus that went to the cross? You see, Jesus didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk. And then he conscripted followers, disciples, and marked them with his cross. Not so that we could, you know, just kind of dance our way in this life, but so that we could live and breathe for the praise and glory of God. By this, Jesus says, all people will know that you are my disciples when you have love for one another. What's he talking about? Well, on the night in which he's betrayed, he shared a meal with sinners. He washed the feet of sinners. He gave them a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. You see, St. John will say, if we do not practice love, the love of Jesus, then, well, we're still dead. I mean, Cain was a murderer, John says. Murderers have no place in the kingdom. Are we dead? Or are we alive? Are we light and salt and leaven? Or are we simply, well, servants of the one who is nothing more than a thief? And Jesus says, you heard it, you know it, John 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, destroy. So when you see stealing and killing and destruction, you know it's not from God. You know who the source is. I know who the source is. I don't kid myself. When I and others are battling diseases, I know it's not from Jesus. I know that it comes from the devil, because all he wants to do is lie and deceive. All the devil wants to do is to strip us of our faith, or to make our faith nothing more than words with no deeds. Talk with no real walk with Jesus. You see, the world's watching. They know. The proof is in the pudding. You can put it to the test. We will sing words like, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, right? You know that. And they'll know we are Christians. How are they going to know? By our love. not eros love, not phileo love, not friendship, you know, or emotional feeling love. No, the kind of love that the Bible talks about, agape, the Jesus love that goes to the cross, that covers through the shedding of his blood, this atoning sacrifice, every one of our sins. It does not say they'll know we are Christians because we tell them. Did you notice that? They won't know that we're Christians just because, well, I say so. You know what they're looking for? Show me. Show me. I know people, you know people, they love to talk. But what happens with the walk? The humble walk. The Jesus walk. The simple walk of laying down our lives. By this you know the love of God. That's what St. John says. You heard it in our lesson for tonight. By this you know the love of God. How? Well, because Jesus laid down his life on the cross. And I don't want to get into a big thing about, you know, Greek language, but what you've got to know is when John says, we know the love of God because Jesus laid down his life, that's a one-time for all event. And we should also lay down our life is a present tense verb. In other words, what Jesus did for you, for me, for all of us, once and for all, on the cross. By this we know the love of God, lavished upon us. See? Well, what are people going to see? Hopefully, by the grace of God, the working of the Holy Spirit, they're going to see how God keeps lavishing, pouring his love upon us. Our cups overflow. We can't exhaust the goodness of God. We just can't. I mean, it would be foolish, quite frankly, to even try. And so the world looks at us and said, oh, you believe in Jesus? I heard you say so. I think I'm going to watch you for a while. I think I'm going to keep my eye on you for a while. I think I'm going to see what I see. And there's surprises that come our way. All of a sudden today, the doorbell rings, and someone who just wanted to touch their grandma and grandpa with the love of Jesus brought us some Culver's ice cream. Who does that? Well, hopefully, the one who knows that they're a child of God, that they're so deeply loved by Jesus that they just want to pour that love out to others. You see, that's what John is talking about, this apostle of love. See? See what love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God? And that's what we are right now. For sure, for certain. Irrefutably. In the same way that the evidence of God's love for you and me is multisensory, we've experienced it. John's not just blowing smoke. John's saying, this is what I've discovered. This is what I've seen. This is what God has revealed and made known to me. And so now, the world gets to watch and read us, because Christ, through the Holy Spirit, lives in us and is pouring himself out for the world that he died to save from sin through us. Imagine that, my friends. See that, touch it, taste it, know it. Do you know the name Roberto Clemente? A phenomenal baseball player. Died tragically in 1973. When he was playing baseball, he never forgot the grace of God. Never. He always had a heart, especially for children with mental or physical challenges. But when he'd go home to Puerto Rico, he was always taking whatever had been placed in his hand and distributing it generously to others. Always. There was a 14-year-old boy without legs. And Roberto Clemente took the boy and he got him prosthetics and cared for him. There was a beer vendor in 1972 who, when he saw Roberto Clemente, that he had just finished signing some autographs. And so he spoke in Spanish to him. He was, in his own mind, a nobody. And here was this big star baseball player. More than 3,000 hits. Bound, for sure, to the Hall of Fame, right? And Roberto Clemente never forgot him, and every time he saw him, called John Bull. John Bull, by name. And cared for him and loved him. Always had a heart for those that the world might ignore or not see. Roberto Clemente, in December of 1972, there was this major earthquake in Nicaragua, 250,000 people homeless. And so he started doing everything he could to raise funds and supplies to help these people in need. He said, if the Lord has placed in your hands resources and you don't share them, how can the love of God abide in you? What a wasted life! You see? That sounds like John, doesn't it? That if we have the world's resources and we see somebody in need and we close our heart, how in the world can God's love abide in us? So when the earthquake happened and he was traveling and raising dollar support, financial support, all kinds of supplies, etc., what Roberto Clemente did was he ended up on one of those flights when the plane crashed, and he ended up giving his life. Because, you see, if we're going to follow Jesus, there's always going to be some risk, right? That's probably why Jesus said whoever would save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake and the gospel will save it. I mean, what have we got to lose? Bios? My biology? My date? Cemetery tombstone? What have I got to lose? You see, when the devil attacks us, he miscalculates. Because he thinks that by putting you and me under attack, trying to be the thief that he is, that he can steal and kill and destroy. And what does God do? Huh? God says, over my dead body, the good shepherd, the sheep, they come into the sheepfold through the legs of the good shepherd. They get examined. They get anointed with oil. They get healed. The good shepherd heals his sheep. And then they're inside, enfolded, the beloved sheep of God. And no one gets into the sheepfold except through Jesus. He's the good shepherd. He lays down his life. He takes it up again. He says, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die for your sins. And the proof is in the pudding. He puts his words into action. And he says, wait for it. You see, darkness fell. The friends scattered. Hope seemed lost. But heavens started counting to three. Beloved, indeed and in truth, by the grace of God, you and I have received the gift, the promise of the third day. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will now sing verses 3 and 4, two more verses of The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. I invite you to rise as you are able. We continue with our confession of faith. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers.
Let us pray to our victorious Savior on behalf of the Church, the world, and all people. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our Good Shepherd. Lovely pictures show you leading and carrying spotless sheep through grassy meadows, not a speck of dirt on you. But we know real life is messy, dirty, and stony. Thank you for bearing us and bearing with us through all of that. Thank you for leading us safely to your Father's house. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Good Shepherd, defend the church from peril. Provide for its needs. Lead it in paths of righteousness and holiness. Through its ministry, lead many to hear your voice and follow you. Bless pastors and bishops and make them faithful sheepdogs for your flock. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O dear shepherd of this congregation, lead us with your word. Prepare our table with your body and blood. Teach us to do your will with glad and faithful hearts. Use us to lead many into your safe keeping. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O gate of your sheep, protect all people from false shepherds, especially rulers who care nothing for their welfare. Bring peace in places of violence, rich pasture in places of poverty, and true righteousness in places of injustice. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O light and path through death's dark valley, be the strong guide and sure comfort of all who walk therein, especially those we pray for.
Gracious Father, we pray for Marsha Harm's brother. We pray for Heather Mikish, for Don Wanek and Rich Sunday, for Randy Olson and Barb Stephenson. We pray for Pastor Dan Brooklyn, for Keith Hammerbeck, for Kelly Stoyles, for Kenny Hansen, for Sue Tesmer. We pray for Pastor David Schaefer, for Julie Blanchard. We pray for Jenny Brown. We pray for Steve Johnson, for Neil Prokol, and for all your saints, O Lord, your blessed and beloved sheep who seek your healing grace.
Fill them with your abundant life. Keep them steadfast in faith. Strengthen and bless all who care for them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Grant to us all that is in accordance with your will, dear Jesus, and accomplish your salvation among us. For you are risen from the dead and dwell in majesty with your Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Go now in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Hallelujah! Go in peace. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God.